This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 342. Today, AC and I are going to look forward to 2020, recorded live 9th of January, 2020. Thanks to our sponsor, AvPoint. A 99.9% SLA means you're protected from power outages, bad patches, natural disasters, and maybe even a dinosaur attack. Does it protect you from yourself, though? AvPoint Backup for SharePoint Online provides full fidelity backup and recovery for individual items to entire sites. AvPoint can run backups up to 4 times a day to ensure your data is secure. Recover anytime you want without having to pick up the phone and schedule restore windows. Learn why AvPoint is the Microsoft Cloud expert at www.avpoint.com. AC, how's it going?
It's going good, man. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Welcome back to a new year.
Same to you, man. You you sound a lot better this year, too.
Let's call it a New Year's resolution to sound better.
And a new bit of kit.
Exactly. I love a good excuse to splash out on some hardware.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I guess we chatted late last year and we've decided to try and really spend a bit more time on the quality of the show and the audio and the effort we put into it and things, and we got a little lackadaisical in the past, so I started the year off by getting a new mixer and mic and trying to get off to the right start.
I guess we have a setup that we bought for the podcast that's been, I've kind of held it at my house when I do the recordings, and then you have a mic that you've used in the past as well, and it was like, I guess you live and learn, and we kind of learned a bit more about the tech and what you can do and stuff, see what some other people did, and you went in a different direction than what we had done. And it sure looks like a cooler setup. So we're probably going to re-standardize on this. I think the people that know about audio hardware and some other podcasters, they took some of the stuff that we did. We've used different recorders in the past, but right now we've been using, at least what I'm using right now, is a Zoom H6. That's the recorder that the mic plugs into. And then that is plugged into my laptop via USB where I'm doing my recording. And it's fine, a little clunky. It's like one of those devices you pull out, you plug it in, don't leave it on the desk all the time. You plug it in when you need it, then you put it away. And when we travel, it's kind of a pain in the butt because it's big and bulky. It's like an old school cell phone. I mean, you can't fit it in the palm of your hand. It's one of those, if you're holding on to it, you don't hold anything else in your hand.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Yeah, and you just went with a cleaner setup. So I think I'm looking forward to standardizing on that.
Yeah, it's going to be really good, I think. I'd do from work with a older USB mic that I think I bought right when we started the podcast, so 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But for days where I was unable to do that and I'd have to go do it at home, I'd do it with a headset mic. And the headset mic was bad quality. So I'm sure our audio tech was swearing at me for a number of my files that I sent. Apologies for that. So hopefully this will be a bit better.
It's going to be interesting to hear the difference. We're both now using the exact same mic. I always forget what model it is, but it's a
RE320.
Yeah, RE320 Electro Voice.
From Electro Voice, yep.
Yeah, it's not cheap. It's probably the most expensive piece of hardware we have for the podcast.
Mm.
And then what did you do for a mixer? Why don't you share with listeners?
I got a thing called, from Focusrite, called a Scarlett 4i4.
Mm, 4i4.
So the four, that they do 2i2s and they do 4i4s and they do 8i8s, but basically the I is input, right? So it's got 4 inputs and 4 outputs.
Mm,
if that makes sense.
Gotcha.
That's what the numbers mean.
Yep.
At least that's what somebody who understands audio tells me it means.
Yeah, there's a 4i4. That's the third gen, and they have a second gen that's a 2i2.
Yeah, they actually do a third gen 4i4 as well.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Anyway, it's a great little piece of kit, and I'm learning all about it. So, yeah, I hope I've got it right.
And I think what's nice about it is that we kind of switched from having the setup that we use at our desk being the same setup that we travel with, and instead now switching and taking advantage of the fact that iPhones are so damn powerful and that you could just have a much more we have a different setup that we'll use for recording for when we travel, and we're both going to just make sure we duplicate and have the exact same thing so that everything sounds the same. But
yeah,
a desk setup and a on-the-go setup.
Yeah, no, it'd be good. So yeah, switching it up a little bit. How about you? What's new in your world?
Oh, well, this is the first week I'm kind of technically back to work. I did a pretty good job of disconnecting for a couple weeks right before Christmas and then the week of New Year. I guess two new things are interesting for me, not work related. So one of them, we took the family, we went up to New York City the day after Christmas. That was the big surprise for the kids. Christmas present was, hey, we're going to New York City. And they're like, no way, when? We're like, tomorrow, you need to start packing.
Start packing. Yeah, nice.
We were up there from December the 26th. We flew up on the night of the 26th, and then we were there all day until the evening of the 30th, December the 30th. So our plan was to get out of New York before the crazy New Year's Eve stuff started. But I was surprised at how crowded, like sardine sidewalk crowded it was in the popular areas. Like, I guess all of New York is popular, but like Fifth Avenue, for those of you who know New York, Rockefeller Center, Times Square, and then on Fifth Avenue, one block east and west, all the way down from Central Park, where the corner of Central Park, all the way down to like the upper 30s. I was really surprised at how bad the sidewalks were in the afternoons and the evenings. Elsewhere, it wasn't that bad. I mean, when we were walking around in Soho and stuff, it wasn't that bad. But once like, you know, 2, 3, 4 o'clock rolled around, you didn't want to be on Fifth Avenue or Central Park or any of that stuff. So
super busy.
That was one.
Like a fun trip.
It was. It was a lot of fun. We had good weather for most of the time. Kids saw a lot of stuff. So it was a lot of fun. And then I guess my other big like personal thing was like, I ran a half marathon last weekend, and I have another one actually in 2 days, which I'm a little nervous about the way my leg feels, but ran a half marathon last weekend. The conditions were absolutely perfect. And I smashed my personal record by 3 minutes. And then this half marathon season in Florida doesn't last very long. It starts like towards the end of the year, like October, November-ish. And it goes until the beginning of the following year. So like March is probably the latest that you see most races. And then it just gets unhealthy.
Just too hot.
It's just way too damn hot. Yeah. And
yeah, gotcha.
I ran one on Thanksgiving Day, and my goal was to stay under 2 hours. So I did that only by 3 seconds, but still stayed under 2 hours. And then my goal this time was to beat my personal record, which I set 2 years ago, which was a 1 hour, 57 minutes and 37 seconds. And this year I just felt great. And I was on track at about mile 8. And I was like, you know what? My stretch goal the next big milestone that I wanted to hit was not just breaking the 2 hour, but I wanted to break the 1:55 minute. Or 1:55 clock, so hour and 55 minutes. And I saw that I was in decent shape to do it. I'm like, what the hell? I'm going to give it a shot. I think I got my PR anyway. And I smashed my 1:57 by over 3 minutes, by about 3.5 minutes, and got a 1:54.05.
Oh, that's really cool. Congratulations.
Yeah, I was pumped up. I'm not going to do that in 2 days because it was perfect conditions. It's 44 degrees Fahrenheit the entire race. It was dry. Whereas in 2 days, the race is going to start and it's going to be 68 or 69 degrees Fahrenheit, which is, I just want to make sure that if I can run the whole thing and not have to like stop for a second, 68 is hot for when you're running 13 miles. So
sure. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, also, we both did something over the break we should talk about. We both did the same thing, even though we were on opposite sides of the country.
Yep.
And we not only did the same thing, we did the exact same thing. So we made a pledge to each other, I don't know how long ago, a month ago, maybe? Something like that. It was before Christmas.
Yeah, something like that.
To go and sit the MS-600 certification exam for Microsoft.
Building applications and solutions with Microsoft 365 core services.
Yeah, we pledged to go do it. And actually, not long after we pledged to go do it, I made the appointment. Because I'm like, I'm not going to do this if I don't do this right now.
Yeah.
But I did it online. So it's quite interesting. I thought, like, back at the last time I took an exam, which is quite a while ago now, not as long as you, but quite a long time. Quite a long time. I had to go to a testing center.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, that's going to suck. I've got to go. It's miles away and all of that. Anyway, it turns out things have changed in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can sit an exam from the comfort of your own home online. I mean, it's kind of quirky. There's some stipulations, right? But the good news is you can do that. You could do it from somewhere where there aren't other people around that you can talk to and stuff. It's got to be in your own room or something like that. And there's all these rules and things, as you well know. But I thought it went pretty well from a setup perspective, at least. I don't know about my performance, but we'll get to that in a sec, I suppose.
I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. I mean, you and I talked about it after I took the exam. I took mine just recently, just last Friday. So you took it, I think, like the day before Christmas or 2 days before Christmas?
Yeah, I took it Christmas Eve. So the 24th.
Yeah, and I took mine on January the 3rd. I also did it at home. I don't know if I would do that again. I think I might actually go to the testing center because I had, I found it, there's a lot of things that you have to have your desk completely clear of everything. You can't have anything in the room that you could use to cheat with. Nobody can be in the room. Nobody can talk in the room. You can't even talk in the room. Your webcam and your mic are active the whole time. And before I started, I had to get up and like take my webcam and like give them a tour of my office. Yeah, show the ceiling, show everything below it. I had to make multiple changes, had to disconnect my second monitor and go move that off, go put that somewhere. The app that opens too, this one kind of annoyed me. The app that opens up, it takes over the entire screen. It makes you kill everything else that's on that's running. But the questions are showing up. Like I have a 34-inch widescreen monitor. So I'm looking off to the side. Well, I'm looking at the edge of the monitor where the question is. And then the answer's off to the side. And the proctors kept jumping in, interrupting me during the test. And they're like, you need to make sure you're looking at your screen when you're taking the test. I'm like, I am. It's just my screen stretches all the way over here.
Yeah, I have an ultra wide at home. And the software made me do similar things, right? Like it had the question up in the left-hand corner. It had the answer section centered in the middle, and then it had like the next button and previous button and all of that sort of stuff in the bottom right. And on a 38-inch wide screen, I was looking left and right and trying to... Anyway, they caught me out a couple of times and said, please look in the direction of the webcam. And I was like, I am.
Yeah, they did that to me and they did the... jumped in and said, there's no talking during the exam. And I was just like...
I'm talking to myself.
Yeah, I'm reading the question out loud. I'm reading the answers out loud. And quite frankly, I thought that some of your questions were technically inaccurate. And so I was trying to talk through, figure out what it was doing.
Yeah. I have this tendency to put my hands in front of my face when I'm thinking about stuff. And they asked me to not do that as well. It was really... They were like, oh, anyway... So anyway, it actually worked for me. I thought doing it from home or from the office is more likely to make me want to take one again in the future, just because of the accessibility and the, I don't know, for me personally, it's more more likely to make it happen. Not that I want to do a lot of them in the future, but but anyway, should we talk a little bit about how you felt about it? I mean, we should stipulate this by going, we're not going to talk about individual questions. We're not going to talk about any specifics, right? Also because the exam is in beta and it might change before...
Oh, it will change.
It will change?
I'm sure it will.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before it actually comes out. Also, we don't know what we got as scores in the exam. That's also the thing that terrifies me about it, is I could be saying all this and have failed miserably. So yes, the scores come out once the exam goes live for everybody else. So we will get our scores eventually, just not yet.
Right. I guess from the experience, so let's take away from the experience of taking the exam and then also take out the content of the exam. I thought it was a good measure of the person and what they know coming out of the exam in terms of being a Microsoft 365 developer. So then, and this isn't giving anything away. You're tested on five different workloads. You're tested on Microsoft Identity, which is really, you're being tested on Azure AD. You're not being tested... Microsoft Identity is the marketing name they use now for it, but they include the Microsoft accounts in Microsoft Identity. That's not what's going to be tested on the exam. You're tested on Azure AD because that's what Microsoft 365 Dev is.
Yep. You're tested and ADEL on, and all that stuff.
Yeah. ADEL, MSAL, all that. Yeah. You're tested on the Microsoft Graph. You're tested on SharePoint development. You're tested on Microsoft Teams development. And you're tested on Office add-in development. So that's those five workloads. Mm. I thought that if someone came to me and said, here's my certification that I got, it would give me good measure of what they actually know. And that technically they know, they are at least knowledgeable and they're not blowing smoke around this. Because I thought there were plenty of questions on the exam that are going to weed out the people who are just trying to bullshit their way through a job interview. Hmm. I thought that there were some that were kind of, I mean, like every certification exam, there were some that are kind of picky.
Yeah.
And it is interesting too, because I think you might have had the same experience where there is some tech that I'm stronger at than others. Like I'm definitely much weaker at the Office add-in content than I am at the Microsoft Teams development. And I'm much weaker at Microsoft Teams development than I am at SharePoint Framework. But I feel really strong at like Graph and Identity. And so I felt like, I felt it was a pretty good measure.
Yeah, I don't know how I'll do. For that reason, I think I was fine on the identity side. I think I was fine on the graph side. Like all of those questions were pretty straightforward to me, at least. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I know a bunch about SPFX, but not all the intricacies like you do. I don't know much about, I mean, I know the basics of teams development and things, but not to any level of like really deep granularity.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely, like, I used to know a lot more about Office add-in development than I do now. But, you know, and things have progressed, right? I have not looked at it in the last 3 years, probably. And things have changed. So I honestly really have no idea how I did in the exam. I hope they break it down into the different sections so you can see which areas you did better than others. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if I failed the exam because of my lack of knowledge around the Office add-in stuff and teams development and things, but we'll see.
So think about it like that. I mean, you've got five different workloads you're going to be tested on, so 20% per, and you have to hit, you have to hit a 70%.
75?
70.
70.
I thought it was 70.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
So if you knew, if you got every single question about Office add-ins wrong, and you got some of the questions on Microsoft Teams wrong, you should still be able to pass. And that's the only thing that I wouldn't, if I was hiring somebody, that would give me a little bit of pause. Because if they came to me and they said they passed, I'd like to know what their score was. Because that's going to tell me, if I see that they barely passed, then I'm like, okay, which of these five workloads do you not know? Because if you don't know identity, that's really going to be a red flag. If you don't know graph, that's going to be a red flag. And if I'm hiring you to do Teams development and you bomb the Office add-in stuff, hey, we're good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there were also, you know, like every beta exam as well, some of the questions stumped me because you're like, well, it could be this or that. It just, but there's not enough info to decide. So, I mean, but that's the whole point of a beta, is to gather feedback about the exam and make changes and tweaks based on what they hear. So I hope they do that on a few questions. There were some technical inaccuracies and also a little bit of vagueness in a couple of questions that, you know, I have this tendency to overthink things. And so I'll read the question and be like, I could go in this direction or that direction, but I need a little bit more info.
Yeah. It can be tough too, because with this stuff, there's multiple ways to skin the cat. And it's really, a lot of it comes down to, what are you most comfortable with? What would you prefer to do? It's stuff like that. And I mean, it's they are taking the feedback. I mean, you do have an opportunity during the beta to provide feedback on specific questions. The app that they were using to do that, I thought was, at least on the Mac OS, was pretty crappy, because I kept having problems where the backspace key wouldn't work like 80% of the time. So finally, I got like 10 questions in and I was like, you know what? You're dealing with my typos. I'm sorry. And just kept dumping feedback. I've been involved with a certification where over the summer of 2019, I spent some time working with them on coming up with the topics that should be tested on. And then the output from that is used for three different things. It's used for, one, the question writers. I was not involved in that. It's used for someone who's going to build a instructor-led course with hands-on labs and all that kind of stuff. I'm not involved in that. And then it's content that's being built for like self-paced study. If you didn't want to go pay for anything, it's free content. It's on MS Learn. That I am heavily involved with. I've been working on that a lot for Microsoft. And I found it kind of funny because I actually saw some of my code samples from the demos that I built for that content were actually copy and pasted, and they were in the questions. I'm like, oh, I totally know what this answer is because that's my variable name.
AC's awesome auth token.
Yeah, no, I didn't do that. But
okay, fair enough.
But so the people that I've been working with, I took some time and I sent a fairly long email about, if I had to print it out, maybe like a page and a half of some feedback on three specific items. I'm not going to go into detail what they are. You and I talked about them on the phone already, but I don't think it's fair to people who have and have not taken the exam or Microsoft to disclose what that stuff is on the podcast. But it has generated some pretty serious conversations. So, I mean, they are definitely interested in trying to get this stuff, you know, just right. I said something on Facebook about it and people were like going, yeah, that's the way it always is. They all suck and da-da-da. I'm like, no, I've done this before. I mean, the last time I took a cert exam was 20 years ago, but literally 20 years ago. But yeah, it was an NT4 exam and like SQL Server 7.
Nice.
I think that they are doing a pretty good job with it. And they even do this really cool process. And I forget what the name of it is, but they do this process to where at the beginning of the exam, you tell them what your background is and what kind of experience you have on all five of the workloads.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, if that's true, then you should get these questions right.
Mm.
And it looks at what your performances on those questions, compares it to all these other people. And so there's a predictive thing that says, okay, CJ, if you got these questions right, but you got this question wrong and you chose this answer in getting it wrong, then you, along with many other people doing the same thing, this is telling us that this is a bad question or this is a bad answer and we should address it. There's a lot of analytics and statistics involved in this that they use. So it's really, I think they do a really good job with it.
Yeah, really nice. Well, we will see what happens with our scores, I guess. And we'll do a reveal on the show, perhaps. I don't know.
Oh, we'll do it. We'll do a reveal.
It's freaking me out, man.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by ShareGate. For those of us familiar with ShareGate, we know they've always been about SharePoint and Office 365 migration. But now we've all moved to the cloud. Like me, you're probably thinking about how to scale your Office 365 to a full, self-service environment without worrying about thousands of groups and teams popping up out of nowhere, aka sprawl. That's why the folks at ShareGate developed ShareGate Apricot. It's a solution that helps us automate our Office 365 groups governance by allowing us to collaborate with users to keep everyone accountable for the things they create. They're super simple to use. In-app experience lets us lighten our load by delegating group management responsibilities to users we trust, aka no more sprawl. Want to get your hands on ShareGate Apricot? Try it free for 30 days at sharegate.com/cloudshow. And now back to the show. Okay, so on to the meat and potatoes of this show. We are going to look forward to 2020. Now, each year we have done this in the past. We've done reflections on the previous year, and then we've looked forward to the next year and what we think will happen and all that sort of stuff. So for those of you who are looking for those other episodes, episode 287 is looking forward to 2019. So you can go and listen to that and see what we said we were looking forward to. And then 340 was reflecting on 2019. So that's where you can see how we graded ourselves on how we did and how we, what we thought, what how our, did our wishes come true, all of that sort of stuff. So 287 and 340. So we've looked back, but now it's time to look forward.
Looking forward. Just going forward.
2020, I've got a feeling is going to be a good year, AC. I got a feeling about it.
I've got a good visibility into 2020.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Yes.
2020? Yeah. 2020 vision. Yeah.
So, I get it. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We split this up into wishes and goals, right? So two sections. So wishes are more sort of aspirational type stuff. And then goals are kind of things personally that we want to achieve. So we're going to go through this in order. We'll start with wishes first. But since I'm the host, why don't we start with you, AC? What's your first wish?
My first two wishes, they're not going to be too much of a surprise, especially for the people who are like read my blog or that know me. My wishes are going to be focused around like work stuff, so Microsoft stuff. Now, and the first two are about SharePoint framework. First and foremost, I really want the SharePoint framework team, I really wish that they would focus on reliability. And this is going, I'm going to be a bit of a hypocrite when I, in what I'm about to say, between wish one and wish two, because they kind of conflict with each other. But the first one is, I want them to focus on reliability. I want them to stop building stuff. I want them to completely stop building things. I know, I doubt this is going to happen because I know they're all big on this new thing called the Fluid Framework, but I wish they would stop building stuff and they would get their house in order. They would have a better testing model that's set up. Every single time we have a release of the SharePoint framework in 2019, within about 2 weeks, we had to get a patch release to fix problems that were introduced as regressions. Mm. And then sometimes we needed another patch release to fix the regressions that were introduced when they fixed the last regressions. I think a lot of that could be done, could be improved with testing, with preview, with public beta kind of stuff that people could see on testing out the libraries. There are some people that get access to them to be able to test them ahead of time, but it's a very small subset. And it's a little irritating. We just had the new version of SharePoint Framework 20, version 1.10 get released. There are some weird things about it that people are finding out of the box already. Part was a documentation problem, but still there's other stuff that's going on that's screwing up with some people. Now it's now at the point where I tell all my customers, all my students, when a new release happens, don't install it right away unless there's something in there that you absolutely need for production. But instead, wait for 1 to 2 weeks and watch the issue list and see if anybody else has problems with it. Sure enough, people in my mastermind for my that are my customers, they started reporting errors with this one thing. I said, how do you suggest to fix it? I was like, roll back. Is there anything you need? He's like, nope, I just want to install the latest thing. I'm like, roll back then. He's like, well, what would you do to fix it? I'm like, I would roll back. We don't know what the problem is yet. It literally just dropped about 3 hours ago. So I wouldn't, you're on the edge.
Fair enough.
My second wish though, that kind of conflicts with this, is that I wish that they would finish the work that they started with SharePoint Framework extensions. Mm. So I know I said, I wish they would stop building stuff focused on reliability. And now I'm saying, I wish they would actually finish the job. I guess what I'm really saying is I wish they would stop building and doing new stuff. I wish that they would focus on doing stuff that was, you gotta love these smart homes. All the lights just went out in your office and you started waving your arms around to try and get the motion detector to kick in. So now go to your phone, smart thing. There you go. With the SharePoint Framework extensions, I mean, we got like app customizers, we got a couple placeholders. Everybody wants more, want to be able to do more stuff. They said more were coming. It's been 2 years. We got field customizers to customize the way fields were rendered out, which is how we used to do old JS Link stuff. They said we're going to get the ability to do edit stuff. That was 2 years ago. Still nothing.
Yep.
Command sets. And then there's some eventing problem that's going on. These are probably the most powerful things that you can do with the SharePoint framework because they can affect so much stuff. And we're still on like V1. It's like the proof of concept is out and they're incredibly useful, but they could do so much more with some iterative updates. And it's just kind of, it's a little annoying that they're going so slow.
Yep. Fair enough.
Now my last one, I'm going to switch it more over to the Azure side, not being so much on the Microsoft 365 dev or Office 365 dev. So the way I titled it was significant improvements to the cloud developer space, make it more friendly for devs, less quote, you have to pay to play. And I'm seeing a little bit of this, like the bot framework and bot emulator, but so much of Azure is still got their head in the sand on the Windows experience and they ignore everything else. And if you want to build an application that you can test locally and all that kind of stuff, you have to create production services a lot of times in Azure to be able to test these things out. You have to be able to create, you have to create a Cosmos DB and you have to use that Cosmos DB that in production and pay for it in order to be able to do all of your testing. And some Azure services do give you like a free threshold that you get access to, like thousands of things or something, thousands of like requests or stuff that you can size up on. I really wish that Microsoft gave us, to me, it makes sense to do things as containers. And if you want to have a little Cosmos DB emulator, you spin it up as a container with Docker. And I mean, it's easy. It's easy to delete. It's easy to install. It runs everywhere. I wish that they would focus a bit more on that experience, part for testing, part for, I mean, even when you want to do automated testing with an Azure solution, you got to mock the hell out of what you're going to do with a Cosmos DB, which you can just do, you know, your API and your service layer using like a dependency injection setup. It's all possible. It's just, they don't make it easy. And I really wish that they would do something about that. So that's my wish. I don't think I'm going to get it, but.
No, it makes sense.
How about you?
Okay, three wishes. My first is a bit vague, and I really just don't know how to put my finger on this, but I just want something brand new from Microsoft that just blows my socks off tech-wise that I want to get excited about. I don't know what it is. Like, it's just, I've just been unexcited by stuff they've been working on recently.
Yeah.
There hasn't been anything that's made me go, that is rad. Like, you know what I mean?
We talked about that after Build last year.
Something I really want to dig my teeth into and grab hold of and like learn about, you know, that sort of feeling. So
yeah,
that's my first one. My second one is I would love Microsoft just to do a very focused cloud developer conference. And I know that sounds like Build, but Build has a whole bunch of stuff jammed in there, like
Windows, HoloLens.
Windows development, HoloLens. Yeah, like a bunch of that stuff that honestly I couldn't give two hoots about for my day job. Like I actually care about Windows development. Like I don't want them to keep pushing on apps for Windows and building all that stuff because I actually really like doing that. But that's not me for work. What I'd like to focus on is building cloud services and building cloud-based applications and things like that. And so maybe it's just carving that off or something. I don't know. Even if it's really small, it doesn't have to be big. It just has to be a really focused, deeply technical show with like industry experts and luminaries that you just go, wow, this is really cool stuff.
I would love to see something like, I want to be able to go to a conference that is through the client, through the desktop, and it's all developer. It's not admin, it's not Ignite, it's not Build, but it's all Azure and all like hardcore M365 dev stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
So that's my second one. And then the third one is a little bit more out there. I wish that Google and Microsoft would team up to go and gang up on AWS. And the reason I say this, I was really struggling for a third wish, but I came up with this one. And the reason...
That's why I went first.
Yeah. Good call. The reason I came up with this was that I think Google have some really good aspects to their cloud offering that startups really like. And Microsoft have a lot of really good aspects of their cloud service that enterprises like. And I think the way to beat AWS is to be good at both. And I think Microsoft and Google teaming up could do that. Because AWS is looked at very fondly by startups, obviously, and also reasonably fondly by enterprises. You know, I guess that might be being whittled down by Microsoft over time. They got first mover advantage, right? But anyhow, but I think Microsoft and Google partnering together on this could really make some inroads.
Did you see the article? I think it was in Forbes or CNBC. It's actually like today or 2 days ago that talked about how Microsoft is not winning the revenue race when it comes to public cloud offerings, but they're winning the enterprise race. Like more enterprises are in a survey that was recently done, more enterprises are in and wanting to do more with Azure than they responded doing the same with either of the other two clouds.
Right. No, I didn't read it. I should read that. That sounds interesting. So that's my third wish.
That's a good wish.
So yeah, something that blows my socks off, a cloud developer conference and Microsoft and Google partnering up to gangbang AWS.
Awesome. I like those. But ooh, that's gangbang? Yeah.
Maybe that's a bit far.
This episode is sponsored by Raygun. Raygun provides full-stack error, crash, and performance monitoring for tech teams. Whether you're a software engineer looking to diagnose and resolve issues with greater speed and accuracy, a product manager drowning in bug reports, or you're just concerned you're losing customers to poor quality online experiences, Raygun can provide you with the answers. Get full-stack error and performance monitoring in one place. The next time you're struggling to replicate errors and performance issues in your codebase, think Raygun. Head over to raygun.com and get up and running within minutes and dramatically improve the online experiences of your users. This podcast is brought to you by Nintex. If you could score an extra hour or two back in your day, would you take it? Because our friends over at Nintex want to give you a gift. The gift of time. Seriously, if you haven't checked out what Nintex has to offer lately, you definitely should. The platform built on Azure has evolved a lot. In just the past few months, the Nintex team has added new process mapping capabilities and most recently, a new eSign capability called Nintex Sign, powered by Adobe Sign. Nintex also continues to revolutionize products you know and trust, including Nintex Workflow and Forms. With the power of Nintex, it is faster and easier for you to configure, not code, giving you valuable time back every day to sprint it however you want. Test drive the Nintex Process Cloud at nintex.com. Back to the show.
Now, on to our goals.
Ah.
This is the section where we set ourselves some things that we want to achieve in 2020. You want to lead us off?
Sure. Now, these are both personally professional and personal. Yeah. This is like personal stuff, personal goals, and I guess personal goals when it comes to work stuff. Does that make sense? Personal, personal, and personal, professional. Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm trying.
It's a mix.
There you go. It's a mix. Yeah, it's a mix. So... sadly, my first two are going to be the same as I had last year. I was a bit
derailed. That is fine. We're not judging anybody by their previous commitments.
Lack of follow through.
Yeah, exactly.
My first one is I want to complete my Mastering the SharePoint Framework course by the end of the first half of 2020. So by the end of June. I said the same thing last time. I only have 4 chapters to go. I already have the outlines done and I really just have to record it and publish it. And so you're asking me, so people are wondering like, well, then why the hell aren't you going to do it? And it's like, well, because, so cards on the table, I'm going to open the Komodo up here and probably share more than I probably should in terms of what my business life is. But in the middle of last year, I got involved in that. Microsoft really asked me to be involved in that certification that we talked about earlier in the show. They asked me to work on the content. And I agreed to do it because it looked like it made a lot of sense for what I was currently doing. And it also looked like I was going to be able to manage the project as is and bring other people involved in the project in. The problem that happened with it is that it was there were some things that we did not have visibility into with this project that have taken a lot more time. And to be completely frank, I'm in a position to where I can't outsource as much as I wanted to. We can't go back and get more money for the project. And so more of it's falling on my shoulders and it's taking up more of my time than I ever anticipated. So I've alluded to this a little bit in previous shows. You and I have talked about it a bunch offline. And I have to just deal with it and get through the rest of this project. It goes through the first half of the year. I should be able to record 4 chapters and publish them by the end of the first half of the year. But that's why I totally missed my deadlines last year. So that's my first goal. The second goal is also about my training business, Voitanos, and it's to focus on growth, back office, and marketing. And there's a lot of classic small business in Voitanos where it's held together with chicken wire and bubblegum. And I want to clean that up. There's a lot of that stuff I want to clean up. It's stuff that most people won't see the difference to it, but I want to clean that up. I want to do stuff about growing the company. I want to have more. I have 2 more courses that are currently planned. One of them is, you know what, I'm not going to say anything more about that, but I got 2 more courses that are currently planned. And
yep.
Hopefully by the end of the, I want to say they're going to come out clearly, but I'm not going to let myself say it. And then the marketing revamp, like the site's going to be completely redone. There's a whole bunch of stuff that goes into marketing, from social marketing, paid marketing, SEO, email marketing. And right now a lot of stuff is put together, webinars. There's a lot of stuff that's put together. It's all in lots of little pieces. And I just want to get my arms around it and get it all just put together. I have a plan in my head. I just haven't done it yet.
Yeah. You want to feel like you're doing everything you possibly can for the business to succeed and do well. And if you're not doing that, you feel like you're letting yourself down a little bit.
I am. I tell you, and I've lost focus on it too because of this other project that I'm doing. The last thing that I have in my list is more family, more play, less work. And I tend to do a really good job of overworking myself and working all the time and not leaving enough time for play. And I noticed this last year, about the same time last year, coming out of a Christmas break, and I need to do a better job of it. And I'm going to do a better job of it. So I'll just leave it at that.
Nice. Yeah, that's good.
How about your goals? What are your goals for 2020?
Strangely enough, the first one we share together, which is my work-life balance and health and putting me first. This past year and a half, I guess, has been, 2 years, I suppose, has been just crazy with what's been going on. And I've not put myself first in a lot of situations and have suffered from it health-wise due to it. And so I want to make it a goal to really be mindful of that and keep myself in first place most of the time. I won't get away with it all of the time, but most of the time. So focusing on health and family and my work-life balance, putting me first. I want to run at least 3 half marathons.
Hey!
I've been talking about running for quite a while, and I go through spurts of running and not running and running and not running, and there's more pauses than there are spurts, but quite a lot more. But, you know, it's just, I really want to do it. And I think 3 is totally achievable. I've sort of said 3 to 5. 5 might be the stretch, but 3 seems doable for me.
That's awesome.
For the level I'm at, 3 seems achievable. Yeah.
I do that. I do it like we already talked about a little bit. I do that at the end of the year, beginning of a year. Otherwise, during the main part of the year for me in Florida, it's not possible. What you just said about starts and stops and pauses and spurts and everything, the thing that I love about booking yourself a half marathon, it's the training is not overwhelming like a marathon is. It doesn't break you down.
Mm.
But the thing about it is you can't mail it in.
Right.
If you miss a run, it's okay. If you miss a long run one weekend, it's not good, but you're generally going to be okay. But you can't do that a lot. And so it really forces you to be like, you get this point of going, you know what? I spent $100 on my registration to go run this race, or $75 to run this race.
You're committed.
And if I don't put this time in, I'm not going to be ready for that race. I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm going to have to cancel out of it. I'm going to bail out. I'm going to lose my money. And so it's enough of me that at least that motivation works for me to where if I know that I'm pissing my money away, that nothing makes me more angry than being interrupted, number one. And number two, of being wasteful, and especially around money.
Yeah, totally. No, that's good. It doesn't matter how big it is, right? It's like Costco membership. People go to Costco because they've already paid to go to Costco.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was second one. Third one is next big iteration of cloudmarketshare.com. So I got it launched and it's pretty basic, but I've got lots of ideas that I want to get to. And so that keeps me coding as well. Like I really enjoy working on it. And it's a fun personal project. So I just want to go through the next big iteration and, yeah, get it out.
That'd be fun. It's fun to have a pet project like that. I talked to you about one of those a couple of weeks ago, and then I came to realize that I thought it was a good business opportunity too. And then I found out that three of the people are already doing that same idea. So they have that other great idea. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do that now. But remember that hardware thing I told you I was going to do last year? Was it like the fishy or something? I can't remember what it was, but it was something about my fish tank and smart things and microcontrollers and stuff.
Fishy things. I can't remember.
I may end up doing that. I'm finally getting around to doing a huge remodel on my fish tank in the next couple of weeks. And I've got it all set up for this is where sensors would go and maybe do Raspberry Pi, maybe force myself to learn Python. So, but a pet project, you need something like that. More fun.
Definitely. Exactly. Something to take your mind off other things and something to be excited about. Yeah. Nice. Well, that's a good roundup. I think we've got some good wishes and goals there. We'll see how we do this year.
Yes, we will.
Maybe we should do a mid-year check-in to remind ourselves. We'll have to do something like that.
I like that. Let's do that. Let's sync up like in June and say, how are we doing? Do we need to do better?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I need to get recording and you need to get running.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, AC. Great to meet again in 2020. Looking forward to an awesome year ahead. And let's see how we do.
Yeah, man. Good to see you again. And here's to another great year for the podcast.
Cheers.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in your favorite podcast app. It helps people find out about our show and grow our audience, and we'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a wave or MP3 and provide us a link so we can play it on the show. You can also subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, the Google Play Store, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice. And finally, sign up for our mailing list by heading over to microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll get notices of each episode, as well as the show notes sent to you directly each week. We'll be back with a new episode next week. Thanks for listening.